Continuing then, next with the next person who would address the commission. Please state your name for the record, sir.
My name is Tony Coast.
Spell your last name, please.
K-O-S-T.
T-O-S-T?
K-O-S-T.
I'm sorry. What is your residence address, Mr. Coast?
404 8th Street South in Fargo.
Is that also your post office address?
No, I have a post office box, two box 10325, Fargo.
And are you representing any organization or business entity?
Just our family partnership.
That's fine. Mr. Coast, as you heard me advise previous witnesses, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Coast, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may proceed.
5 years ago, my family invested in a quarter section of land just west of Fargo. And at the time that we bought it, we researched it, and it's west out in Addison Township. And at the time we bought it, we researched it, and it met our criteria. And the reason it did is because of the quality of the land, the drainage of the land, and that it was a clean piece of land. And by clean, it didn't have high lines. We invest in quite a bit of land, and we don't invest in land that has high lines. We do notice that a lot of the land that comes up for sale is land that does have high lines on it. It's repeatedly up for sale, and the land that doesn't come up for sale. Because it was such a good, clean piece of land, we paid a lot of money for it. Now, the first that I heard about putting high lines out there, a guy by the name of Ole Olison from Alltag called me and told me that you were thinking about putting some high lines out there. And it's not a good call to get. I wish that some of the people that work with the power line companies could experience that. You know, it's kind of nice just every once in a while to drive out there and look at your land. We rent it out, but it's a nice clean piece of property. We do a lot of developing, but this happened to be a farmland investment. And there's nothing that we can do about it. I mean, you have eminent domain, and we know it, and I feel that because of that, we're a little taken advantage of. And I think I'm probably speaking for a lot of the people that this happens to. They offer to pay us, I would say a pittance to put the high lines through it. It maybe pays for the right of way on the land value, but I would gladly pay them a lot more than that not to do it. We won't keep the land. We can't sell it now because we'd have to declare, it's going to have high lines. And when we do sell it, we'll sell it for a lot less than we could if it didn't have high lines on it. That's all I got to say.
Ms. Agramonte.
Thank you, Mr. Cost. I do not have any questions.
Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Cost, do you happen to have the legal of your land?
I do. We're in the northwest quarter of 11 in Addison. It's under the name Contractors Leasing.
Under the name what? Excuse me?
Contractors Leasing. The other thing I'd say is that, the first that I heard about this is when we got a call from Alltag, and we didn't know about this meeting today. You know, my daughter just happened to see it in the legals of the paper. Well, who reads the legals, you know? And I probably should have come and said something long before this, but we didn't know about anything long before this. And I know it's not going to have an impact, but I feel better. So.
Mr. Armstrong?
I have no further questions.
Mr. Lean?
No questions.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Clark?
So much questions and comments, but this comes up every so often in our hearing, so maybe speak a little bit to it. The issue of easement values, land values, things like that, with regard to what utilities commonly offer, what they offer, is not directly under the purview of the Public Service Commission. Those are things, because they're ultimately something that can become part of a takings, basically, if it goes that far, it's strictly under the purview of the court. So if eminent domain is used, the Public Service Commission doesn't have power of eminent domain. Only courts have powers over that, which is why only ultimately courts have any authority over what the contract terms between a landowner and a private landowner and a utility company would have with regard to the value of the easement, so on and so forth. So it's, we sometimes ask questions about it because we're interested in the processes that a utility company will go through with regard to how it acquires leases and easements and things like that. When it comes down to actual authority over what the terms of those contracts are, how much they're valued at, so on and so forth, really outside of the scope of the commission. Not that we don't like hearing about what's going on, because we do in these sorts of proceedings. So thank you.
Further questions from the commission?
None, just thank you, Tony, for your testimony.
Thanks for
listening. I'm glad it makes you feel better, but it really does matter.
Just a minute. Oh. One more. We got to close the loop here. Ms. Agramonte?
Thank you, Your Honor. No questions.
Mr. Armstrong?
Nothing further.
Mr. Lean?
No questions, Your Honor.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Coast.
Thank you.
Next, please. Please state your name for the record.
Jim Huseman.
How do you spell your last name, Jim?
H-U-E-S-M-A-N.
Huseman.
Yes.
Mr. Huseman, what is your residence address?
843 Main Avenue, Hickson, North Dakota.
Is that also your post office address?
Yes.
And do you represent any organization or business entity other than yourself?
Just myself.
All right. Mr. Huseman, as you heard me advise previous witnesses, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Huseman, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may proceed.
My main issue of concern is the original alignment of the highline wire going across the river, roughly about 4 miles north of the southern proposal now. And the issue for the change being simply because of the diversion. And I guess my issue with that is the reality is the southern diversion is putting it within a half mile of roughly 200 homes. And the only reason that you're moving it is for a proposed diversion that is far from reality. And even the people on the Flood Commission that are for the diversion will agree that it is far from reality. And it seems senseless to devise a plan or even make changes to a plan that puts it closer to a group of 200 homes over something that is not reality. Because the reality is those homes exist and they're there right now. And the diversion does not. It's an idea. And I guess that's my main concern, is that let's not make a choice to change this plan on something that isn't reality and put it on top of people that are there. And I guess if the diversion ever does become reality, let those that would benefit from this high line wire being moved, let them pay the cost to move it into a unaffected area that we would now be considered underwater. Let them, you know, at that time. But it makes no sense to put it in our backyards when it wouldn't need to be. And that's all I really have to say on that. So,
Ms. Agramonte.
Thank you. Mr. Huseman, I have no questions.
Mr. Armstrong.
No questions.
Mr. Lean.
Did you have property on the route?
In the Bakke Edition is where I live, yes.
And is there a address or a legal description or something?
The one I gave there, 843
okay.
Main Avenue.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. No further questions. Thanks.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Clark?
No, but thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here. And just for everyone's benefit, the theme of the theme that we keep hearing about, you know, don't make a certainty based on a possibility is pretty clear.
Commissioner Koch.
Thank you for your testimony. I just have one question. Did you get a chance to look at all about the route way back when going down I-29 south of Wapton? And if you did, any thoughts on that route?
You know, I wasn't aware of that route. I really became aware of the whole situation once it kind of was put in our backyard.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Follow up, Ms. Agramonte.
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Armstrong.
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Lean.
No, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Huseman. Anyone else? Please come forward. Please state your name for the record.
Christy Hushka.
Christy is spelled?
The last, Christy is K-R-I-S-T-I.
And your last name, please?
Hushka is H-O-U-S-K-A.
Hushka.
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 Yeah, you gotta blame my husband for that one.
Yeah, I understand. As you heard me advise previous witnesses, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may proceed.
My name is Christy Hushka, and I live in the Bakke subdivision. And I am on the back end, right where the power lines will be placed, directly behind us. And one of my major and priority concerns right now, as I see in Exhibit 1 that was given on page 6-5, it's the very last item under the impact upon in number 6, labeled human health and safety. Under the proposed route section, it says no significant impacts associated with human health and safety considerations are anticipated within the proposed route and Bison Substation siting area. I just want to make the commission aware that we have 2 busloads that come out of the Kindred School District that come out of those areas, busloads of children. And we live right in that Bakke subdivision that is about less than a half a mile away, right in our backyard in the field. And I am I don't care if it says no significant impacts. If there's any health impacts whatsoever, and my children are associated with that, I don't want that, especially when it has the possibility to go in that northern alignment where it is in the middle of a field, and there is no homes whatsoever at this time. And that is in, right now, the natural floodplain where no home should be built right now to begin with. We are already an established community, and we have these children that are out there. There is a back road that leads out of our development that is used for recreational purposes, and those high lines are going to go right over that road. This road is used for walking, running, and for our kids to ride their bikes on. They take their four-wheelers down there. This is strictly used for all recreational purposes. And I have read up on what some of these power lines have the capability of doing, and it makes me sick to my stomach to think what they have causes been associated with them. And I would not appreciate those going in, and it's a moral issue, especially when you're talking that many children that are out there. Also, has there been thoughts of when, like just last summer, we had this huge straight wind storm that went through by Kindred, and it took down steel power lines and snapped them right in half. How is the maintenance going to be performed on these power lines when there is 10 feet of water, if there needs to be maintenance done on them out in that area, if this proposed diversion goes through? And like everyone else, that's the term I'm using. This is a proposed diversion. It's not an actuality. There's been no funding done on it. And to go ahead and put another project dependent on that, just like that letter from Wallaker, he used the exact same wording as what was used in this document, anticipated. And that is not a for sure thing. And basically that's what I have to say in regards to these power lines.
Ms. Agramonte?
Thank you, Your Honor. I have no questions.
Mr. Armstrong?
Ms. Hushka, I'm just, from the other witnesses, I think Mr. Bice and Mr. Huseman said they were in the Bakke subdivision too, is that correct?
Mr. Huseman, yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in,
I would be the one closest, though, to the power lines out of all three.
And how far away are you from the proposed location?
I am back right up against it. I'm on Plum Tree Road. I am the third road in, closest.
I'm just wondering if you could maybe show us on the
sure.
map, on these maps, if you can. We've already got, how close are you to Mr. Bice?
Mike Bice is on the first road. I'm on the third. Where did he circle his?
This is not on. His didn't show on these smaller maps. I'm wondering if yours does.
That's Oxbow. I'm not exactly, I'm just right across Highway 81.
Right across off Highway 81?
Yep, I'm on the north side of Highway 81.
Highway 81 on the 40, and then 39, so it'd be off of these maps.
Yes. Yep, we're around the curve yet.
I think I'll just rely on Mr. Bice's map for where the Bakke Township is. I think we can find it from there. I have no further questions.
Mr. Lean?
No questions.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you for taking time to testify today. I understand your concerns about if the power line is built. Do you have any, if it's approved, the special concerns during construction of the power line that would need to be addressed?
Well, the noise factor, for one. Also, it's taking place in a field. There's chemicals that are in the field that's stirring up all those particles. Also, I guess once the power lines are constructed, just what I've heard, the medical problems associated with them as well. that's something that I don't think anyone wants associated of their children even to be close by, let alone yourself. And especially when that road runs right underneath those, I have a really hard time with that.
Okay, so that road, the kids use a lot, people use a lot, so during construction phase, that road would probably have to be closed down?
Yeah, because it runs right over the top of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's utilized quite a bit, you know, they take snowmobiles down it, everything, yeah. Oxbow people come over and use it when they go running. And.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions from the commission?
Just thank you very much.
Ms. Agramonte?
No questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Armstrong?
No questions.
Mr. Lean? Thank you very much, Ms. Hoschka. Anyone else? Please state your name for the record.
Mark Richard.
R-I-C-H-A-R-D?
Correct.
No S?
Correct.
No S. What is your residence address, Mr. Richard?
17107 50th Street Southeast, Horace.
Is that also your post office address?
Yes, it is.
Are you representing anyone other than yourself, such as an organization or a business entity?
Just myself, I'm a farmer.
All right. Mr. Richard, as you have heard me advise previous witnesses, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Richard, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may proceed.
I guess hearing some of the testimony this morning, it was stated that there's a large percentage of the landowners who have signed or are pending. I guess to me that's two distinctly different things, and I don't know why those are lumped together, because I'm not a landowner, but my father is part of the landowners who were getting easements. I have a feeling he is lumped into the pending ones, but he is far from signing. So I guess to me, I would like to know what that distinction is, what the percentages is. I know you guys are getting more documents and so, but to me, I think they should be lumped into two different categories. There's been also a lot of talk that the company would rather have the farther north location, the farther north into Fargo, the better it is for fuel. Has anybody ever looked about keeping the power line going along I-94 like it does in Minnesota, so that you don't have to deal with some of these other issues and run just along the interstates where they already have corridors? Another comment, in the CapEx literature, it states that the route was developed and by terminal with a lot of public input. I guess from our aspect, we have had very little public input. The input has all, we've been to meetings that they've had out and stuff, and input is always, here is what it's going to be. We have not had, okay, this road here is a minimum maintenance dirt road. If you go down that road, there are no dwellings to deal with. Instead, they're fishing through houses and farmsteads that are with a quarter mile apart. They're feeding through those farmsteads. Why, if they're a mile south, there was nothing to deal with. The other issue we have is we've been going back and forth with them about easements. Their easements are very general. It does not limit them to just this project. We've been trying to get them to add that in there, and they're reluctant to add that in there. So it's an open-ended easement that lets them go do other things down the road, and their response was, well, at some point, you just got to trust this is what our project is and that. But we want to make sure that this is not lead to other things down the road. Their easement allows them to do underground transmission lines. It limits us on what we can do to our property. If we want to add field drainage tiles, we have to have written permission from them to allow us to do that. And the way the water situation is, as you guys have heard many times, if this farmland is got a chance to be farmed after a diversion, it's probably going to all have to be tiled. And we're going to have to get written letters and stuff, and I don't know how that process will work and why we should be limited to do that. The other thing is, we've been hearing stories from other landlords and everything else that they've been basically being pressured, being told that they have eminent domain, it is coming through, you better sign it, here it is, do it now or you'll be in court. To me, I don't think that's the way that we should be running these things. We should be running through the process. It'd be nice to have a process that had a lot more public input than waiting till these hearings like this. There are many people who've grown up in these areas. You could sit down with maps and route down better maps than they've come up with here. So I guess that's what I've had to say. I just don't want to be on the end of multiple projects. Everybody wants it not in my backyard, but it seems like everything is going in my backyard, not just these projects.
Ms. Agramonte.
Thank you. I have no questions.
Mr. Armstrong.
No questions.
Mr. Leon.
No questions, John.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Koch.
Did we get a good exact location of what we're talking about here? Okay.
It's on there. It's Section 9 of Pleasant Township.
Okay.
I thank you for bringing up the issue of signed versus pending, though. I was thinking the same thing here, and I didn't ask it, but maybe I will.
I would. And is there a way for us to find that information afterwards? I would like to know how many are actually signed versus what they are pending.
It's a fair question. Thank you.
Can we go to the commission website and find that out? Where does that get published?
Well, it wouldn't be on the commission website.
Once something is filed with us, it's public record.
Yeah, I mean, any exhibit's public record.
So all the exhibits are under, will be found on the website?
Everything that's, all of the exhibits and all of the information that is submitted to the commission, whether or not to the commissioners individually, to the commission in it, and that is used by the commission, becomes a public record. Indeed, you can check the commission's, those of you who are interested, can look at the commission's website and check their calendar, and you'll see what's called a work session scheduled for this case. And you can, if you have the opportunity, that will be streamed over the internet, and you can listen to the commissioners and staff discussing this case.
Your Honor, if I could, just a 328-2400 is always our number, but don't we have a late filed exhibit coming in on this? Didn't we, wasn't there earlier
we've,
question?
We've got a couple late filed exhibits.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right.
There's this one, I'm sorry.
But they'll be available, Commissioner, as soon as they're docketed.
This one.
Any further questions from the commission?
Thank you very much.
Ms. Agramonte?
Your Honor, I simply wanted to clarify that the map of easements that have been requested that be part of late filed Exhibit 29, we anticipated that we would have at least three categories of information on there, options signed, access granted, and then pending data as well. So all of that information will be available on that exhibit that I think is being requested now.
Give me just a moment, please. I'm not sure I described the exhibit that way. You know, I really didn't. So the map is going to show Ms. Agramonte
signed pending agreements, signed access, but not signed, and then pending.
What does access but not signed mean?
As part of the Class 3 evaluation, there were access agreements entered into with some landowners who had not also signed options.
All right, give me just a moment, please, now. Well, I may change my mind again, but Council, I'll send you this further continuation of the exhibit list before I file it. But look, I think this then Exhibit 29 will be described as map showing signed consents access or consent to access, but not signed, and consents not signed.
The third category would be pending, those that we anticipate on closing a deal
pending.
With in the near term. And then my further understanding is this all would be on a to-scale map so that
mileage
would be shown as well.
So, but in effect, pending means not signed.
Yes.
The difficulty with this word. You know, pending to me, when I've got something pending, I mean, it's a done deal, except it's something, maybe it's not signed or it's not been received or whatever. If that's the way you want to describe it, that's your choice. But I want to be clear that what pending means is that it's, you don't have consent.
You know what, Your Honor, I think there was a fourth category that I wasn't listing that you captured right off the start. There will be a list of, or a category of landowners to which no agreement has been reached. And you know what, let me stick with that category instead, and if we want to add a note somewhere about some that we believe are close to being papered, so that the three categories would be signed, access only, and unsigned.
You know, I like that the best.
Thank you for helping me work through it. Understanding that access only is also an unsigned.
No, and I understand that too, but it's a point. Well, we'll put this together, and before I file the exhibit list, I will send counsel the way I have it, and we can discuss any if it's not quite right.
Thank you.
All right. I'm not sure where I was. Mr. Armstrong.
I have no objection to the change of the exhibit. If that's right, I have no further questions.
No, my question is whether you have any further questions.
No questions.
Mr. Lean.
No questions.
All right. Now we're in business. Thank you very much, Mr. Richard.
Thank you.
Anyone else who wishes to address the commission? Anyone else? Ms. Agramonte, rebuttal.
Your Honor, Commissioners, I have no specific rebuttal, but there may be some lingering questions. I'd like to make Mr. Lahr available for those at this time.
Mr. Lahr, if you would, please. I should have asked before I asked you to come forward, but I suspect there are some questions yet. Mr. Lahr, you understand, of course, that your testimony continues under oath and subject to penalties of perjury.
I understand.
Let's begin with the commission. Questions from the commission. Commissioner Clark.
Sure. Thanks for coming back up. There was a good deal of discussion in the public testimony that we received regarding the original, I'll call it the northern route, you discussed it a bit during your original testimony, but the primary reason for dropping the northern route, was it simply opposition of governments being related to being on the dry side of the diversion, or were there other factors involved with that decision?
I will try to be more clear this time around. When we held our open houses and our local government meetings throughout the course of this project, we would get a lot of feedback from individuals, some being township officials, some not. When the whole diversion topic became a topic, when it became an issue, there was a very, very strong sentiment from the majority of the people that we talked to that it didn't make sense to consume land that was going to be protected with a transmission line. And that was something that we, as the project, took to heart as we looked at our routing to see if that was something that we could accommodate. We understood the concern, and we think that the distance that we are at currently south of the diversion works. But we had a lot of feedback that south is better.
Sure. I guess the direct question that I'm trying to get at is sounds from some of the landowners and residents that we heard today that it may be a case that it's one government, the city of Fargo, and they happen to be the one where we've got some evidence in the record where they submitted information to the commission for consideration that here's a project that's outside the city limits, it's outside the city extraterritorial area. So the question be, you know, what say should they really have? I mean, they might have a preference, but would that be any greater weight or less weight than other folks in the county? And I'm wondering if there was just other feedback beyond just the city of Fargo weighing in. Was there counties, townships? You'd mentioned there are other landowners who didn't want it.
In my answer to your question, I wasn't even counting the city of Fargo.
Okay.
The city of Fargo has, you know, weighed in on the project periodically, but it really wasn't the city of Fargo we were talking to. These were the local governments, the landowners that were down in those areas, and the towns that were down in those areas. So we weren't talking to Fargo officials.
Are there advantages to a northern route that are lost by pushing it further south? In other words, was there some sort of trade-off? I mean, you mentioned at a certain point voltages become an issue if you drive it too far south. I'm wondering if there were other, I mean, originally you selected that route for some reason. So what are the things that you're losing by moving it further to the south?
You do lose some of that support that Mr. Klein spoke to earlier as far as the strength of the system on the south end. I don't believe it, well, this is, I should let Mr. Klein answer this. I don't believe it's significant enough to move away from that. The other thing is that the further north you go, as well as the further east you go with the two legs of this project, the closer you get to developable land, more population center, more people, more houses. So in many ways, it put us out into a less dense area with the new location versus where it was before. And I think that is actually a benefit to the project. We lose a little bit on the system side.
Okay. Can we talk a little bit about some of the testimony that we received in specific areas? One would be the testimony of Mr. Kraft, related to the private runway, and have you had direct work with Mr. Kraft, or can you talk a little bit about why that specific area as opposed to a little bit further west wouldn't be feasible, in your opinion, or would it be feasible?
I wouldn't say it's not feasible. It is feasible to move a little bit further west. As I mentioned in my original testimony, it's a mix of trade-offs. Depending upon where we would make that cutoff, and I think in your questioning, you were driving to sort of a half-section crossing as opposed to pushing it all the way down towards the landowner in the sort of the southwest corner there. Maybe something like that is an answer to that situation. Our current location where we're at, we can put shorter poles in or ensure that they're below the 150-foot mark. It's certainly something we do with other airports and things around, even though this isn't a public airport, with addition to marking the line to make it more visible. I think there's opportunities to work through the situation that we have there that we just haven't quite got to yet.
Yeah, sounded like on the idea of a half section, though, you still have the issue of the landing arc itself, that it just doesn't, you're still kind of in the same spot with regard to that, it sounded like.
I mean, it is, at the end of the day, I apologize for sounding like a broken record, but it's a mix of trade-offs. You know, which sets of impacts are acceptable and appropriate for a facility like this? Is it residential? Is it an airport?
Moving to discussions regarding Mapleton. Couple of issues there. I mean, apparently you received some landowner concerns with having a little bit further westward route, which pushed it closer to Mapleton. Now we have a city which says that it doesn't like where you've put it. I mean, talk about possible accommodation there.
There's a couple of ways to look at this. When we went out and talked to the landowners in that area, they didn't like the middle of the section as far as the farming impacts. They preferred it to be more on the section line, the statutory roadway areas. And as we looked at that, from an impact standpoint, other than the proximity to the city of Mapleton, there's not a large impact. Now, to solve that, how do you best do that? Well, currently, we could look at some offset from the city of Mapleton to put it in a position where a conditional use permit would not be necessary from the city. The distance of that offset from the city boundary is not clear to me at this point as to what would be deemed appropriate. Clearly, the city of Mapleton would like it as far as they can, west from its current location. At the same time, it could be moved just far enough to pull the arms and the easement out of the city limits, and anywhere in between there. I mentioned that these become very personal decisions, yeah, with the landowners affected.
I guess the question becomes, it looks like that it runs down half section lines for basically the whole route, or at least a large chunk of it. And it would seem like if you've got the city on one hand versus landowners on the other, and you've set the standard that the half section seems fine, that I guess I'm just trying to feel out why, from a commission position, from a PSC position, if we've got testimony that says we've got an entire city that's opposed to it where it is, it at least gives me pause.
Understandable. I have to think about the impacts of the line, the real impacts of the line, in a situation like this, where you're at the extraterrestrial boundary, or extraterritorial boundary, excuse me, depending. And what are the true impacts of a facility like this? And I think maybe that's what the commission has to look at in these areas, or really what are the impacts of a transmission line? It is not an attractive piece of infrastructure. We understand that. But clearly from a health and safety standpoint, there are not issues with transmission facilities. Clearly we have transmission facilities in the middle of cities. There's many in cities today where houses and buildings and apartments and playgrounds and everything are right up against them. And there's children's playgrounds underneath the lines in the right-of-way. Perfectly appropriate use. Is that a reasonable position to say that the extra edge or the outside edge of the city is too close in a city like that? And I don't know that I can answer that directly for you.
Okay. And then specifically with regard to that one structure that I'd asked about that looks like it's very close to the Maple River Bank, are you familiar with that? And
familiar with that corner. What is indicated in that dot is probably a little deceiving in the fact that at the end of the day there will be two poles there. It will probably have to be pulled a little bit further away from that bank, but these foundations are going to be extremely deep for these facilities. There's a potential that foundation could be a pile cap foundation once we have the geotechnical information on it. So there might be potential for pole tweaks in something like that we would have to run through the plan and profile process.
Okay. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Further questions from the commission? Commissioner Cock.
Just a couple. Thank you for coming back up.
Yeah.
Did you talk to the Cass County Commissioners at all?
We've seen Cass County Commissioners at our open houses that we've had, and I was not a part of it, but a member of our team did go to a Cass County meeting to address the board.
So have they weighed in to your knowledge on this? So we got a letter from Mayor Wallacher, but I don't recall anything from Cass County Commissioners saying one way or the other.
I don't know that we've received a letter of support or not from them. We've gone through the permitting process as far as the county permits needed for roadways and things like that, but we haven't sought out a resolution of support from the...
I wish I had thought of that question earlier for the witnesses that came up and talked about if they talked to the county commissioners, but we'll get to that, I guess. There was some concern about safety, and I'm not talking so much about the electromagnetic part of it, just the safety during construction. What do you do during construction in areas where there are kids, where there are sensitive areas, to make sure it's done safely, access control, those kind of things.
I think the big things that we do have to do with the training of the crews that we have associated with this. Before we start projects like this, when we sit down with the crews, we talk about the areas that we're going to be in, whether that's environmental issues, what the neighbors are, if there's noise concerns. So there's a stage setting, if you will, that happens for each segment of the project to be able to understand what the impacts are in this area, because they do vary by area. And you have different conditions that we need to do in a rural area on a township road versus something if there's a neighborhood nearby. We also would talk with the local officials, whichever that is, to discuss sort of access routes. Are there certain roads that we should be using that route us away from certain areas that are more or less well-used?
So is there a project coordinator assigned for this project that's going to actually be boots on the ground, if you will, doing these kind of things?
Yes, absolutely.
And who is that? Do you have
it has not been named as of yet.
Okay. There was one of the individuals brought up running it right down I-94 through Fargo. That's what Minnesota's doing on most of their route. Is there a particular reason why we couldn't come south out of the substation once we hit 94 by Mapleton, just run it right down the interstate?
There's not adequate right-of-way in and through that area to be able to have a clean path to actually run through there. And in Minnesota, where the route does get tight, it actually breaks away from the interstate in almost every circumstance. So there's several deviations from the freeway to avoid certain things, whether they be population centers, neighborhoods, housing districts, lakes, things like that. So from a routing standpoint, it's just not very feasible.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions from the commission?
None, thank you.
Thank you.
Follow up, Mr. Armstrong.
Yes, Judge. Is that southern substation, is that in the diversion area? One of the witnesses mentioned that.
Dan Klein had mentioned that. I believe it would be on the dry side of the diversion.
And I guess this question kind of, we've had some testimony about some, and you've talked about it with Mapleton and with the airport or the private landing strip. And I don't even, if it's possible, if it's even possible, if we could put together a late file exhibit of options to address those areas or not, or if the commission wants it, or, something for the record of possible options around some of those areas. If that can be put together, I don't know if the commission would want that as part of the record or not.
As a late filed exhibit, particularly with the Craft area, as well as Mapleton, and update the commission on those options at a later time. I don't know what timing might be most appropriate, but we can certainly talk about that.
It'd be late filed. What are we at, 32?
32. If you must. So what is the, give me a description, please, Mr. Armstrong. Or maybe I should go to Ms. Agramonte. What are you offering? Maybe that works.
I would break it into two, Your Honor.
Two late filed exhibits.
Yes.
Of course.
At the risk of being too numerous.
All right.
Exhibit number 32 would be an assessment of mitigation options for the Craft Airport.
All right. Now just stop, please. All right, and then 33?
33 would be routing options on the boundary of Mapleton.
All right, Mr. Armstrong, is that acceptable to you?
Yes.
All right. For the record, Exhibit 32, Assessment of Mitigation Options for Craft Airport. and Exhibit 33, routing options on the boundary of Mapleton, are each received as late filed exhibits. Mr. Armstrong, anything further?
Nothing further.
Mr. Lehan?
Nothing, Your Honor.
Follow-up questions from the commission?
Thank you.
If not, thank you very much, Mr. Larm.
Thank you.
Ms. Agramonte, closing statement. Anything further?
No, Your Honor, I have nothing further.
All right. And Mr. Armstrong, certainly, I assume, no closing statement, nothing further.
You assume correctly.
That being said, by the way, I assume counsel will deal with proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in due course. And otherwise, as I said, I will provide counsel a copy of the exhibit list before I file it. And that being said, anything further for the record, Ms. Agramonte?
No, I thank you for your time today.
And Mr. Armstrong,
nothing
anything
further
for the record? All right. The hearing in the matter of Northern States Power Company, the Fargo St. Cloud, Minnesota, 345 kilovolt cap X transmission line siting application, Public Service Commission case number PU-07-759 is closed, subject to filing of late filed exhibits. Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry. I was on a roll. Really? No, I let's by all means. I'm sorry. I overlooked. I was busy focusing on the clock rather than on my job. With that being said, closing statements from the commission. Commissioner Clark, by all means.
Thanks,
this
Judge.
This hearing
I think this may be, that may be a hint from the
this
judge
hearing
that he's got a,
this
he's
hearing deserves closing statements.
But he's got an appointment back in Bismarck he wants us to get to. Thanks everybody for being here. We obviously received a lot of information today. Just to give folks a heads up with regard to the next steps for the commission, we'll take all the information that we've received here. There are going to be a number of late filed exhibits that you've all heard about, and they'll be filed sometime in the next few weeks, I suspect. And then we'll schedule a work session, which is just the commission's opportunity to talk amongst itself and our own staff about where we see the record, things that we see as next steps towards a potential order. And those meetings are all open to the public. They're on the internet. But typically, they're just opportunities for the commissioners to talk amongst themselves. We don't receive any new testimony from the public or from the applicant. It's just us conversing about it. And then at some point after we have a kind of the will of the commission, we'll direct staff on how to write an order, and then the order will come up for a vote. You know, it could be several weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is, however long it takes us to sift through it. And then we'll vote upon the order at a commission meeting, either approving, rejecting, or modifying in some way the application. So that's our step going forward. One of the things I just wanted to talk a little bit about in closing is something that hopefully folks sort of caught on to along the way here, which was the difference between a corridor and a route, because it was used a lot during the course of the day. A corridor is the wider area in which a line will eventually go. Where the specific line is supposed to go is the route. And so you heard about a corridor application versus a route application. In the old days, we used to have very wide corridors. One of the nice things about very wide corridors is once the commission approved that, it gave you some flexibility in routing within that corridor. I appreciate the fact that we're going to be getting some late filed exhibits with regard to options, because it allows us to maybe take some of those things into consideration. There's a reason why in recent years the commission has typically been a little bit more favorable towards smaller corridors with a route than in the middle. It's because of a law change that happened where state law now reads that once you have a previously cited corridor, other projects can go in there with very minimal oversight by the Public Service Commission. So just from a landowner standpoint, oftentimes landowners like the assurance that, I mean, if you had a 2-mile-wide corridor, it could open up a lot more development without any commission oversight. So we've tended to narrow down those corridors a little bit. The trade-off is when we have these types of hearings, sometimes we need some added flexibility because the corridor is so much smaller. So anyway, thanks for being here. A lot of you hung out for most of the day, so we appreciate the gift of your time and look forward to taking all the information and making a decision at some point in the future.
Commissioner Kramer.
Just thank you to everybody who hung in there with us till the end. It really is, there's really nobody that understands the impact of a facility like this more than the people who are going to live with it. And so while we can read all of the profile drawings and testimony and charts, graphs, and maps in the world, it's, you know, unless we hear directly from the people impacted, it's hard for us even to wrap our mind around it, even if you did grow up in the area and know every inch of the corridor and route. So thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for your courage and your testimony. We look forward to hopefully a conclusion that ultimately won't satisfy every human being in the room or every person involved, but we try to minimize the negative impacts as best we can.
Commissioner Kalk.
Just once again, thanks for your time. Thanks for the tone today of the testimony. It was all, you had ideas, you had thoughts, you presented them. Regrettably, some of the hearings we didn't do, folks get really, really upset, and it doesn't beg the development at the end of the day. So I really appreciate the work that all of you did, making your arguments. And you brought out a lot of points that, quite honestly, we hadn't thought about. And what Tony pointed out, what's kind of unique about the commission is the three of us work together, we're all friends, but we don't talk about cases unless we're in the format of a work session. That's illegal. So we won't talk about this case again until the work session. But after our first work session, we'll all get a feel pretty quickly where we're all at and where this thing is going to go. So that's probably, if you're looking for something to watch, whenever that work session gets announced, listen into it, because that'll tell a lot of people where we're going with this transmission line. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, commissioners. Thank you, council. Good night, all.